Hey, thank you, worship team. Appreciate that. Hey, I want to also send out a big thank you. We had a couple of funerals and funeral dinners yesterday. And thank you to all of you that provided food. It was awesome. As well as the people that were here for hours and hours yesterday, putting everything together, setting up, tearing down, putting the food out, all those kinds of things. I greatly appreciate that. So thank you very much. this course is Mother's Day, as we mentioned, and hopefully you remembered that. Guys, sorry, the warning is too late. All right? So hopefully you can spoil your wives today and just enjoy some time with family. Doing something a little bit different today, and afterwards you might say, yeah, scratch that, don't do that again. And I'll say, okay, and I probably will, but, you know, you can say what you want. Anyway, so I asked you for your letters about Mom, right? Your stories about Mom. And I kind of gathered those over the last few weeks and had several. And I shared some first service. I'm going to share some different ones second service. The whole idea of this message today and where we're going to go with all this is that we just want to say thank you to our moms. All right? We just want to say thank you to God for our moms. And just recognize this as a day that we just want to realize how special and awesome that moms are. Now, as I was going through the passage of Scripture we're going to dive into today, it was very easy to say, okay, if I just read through this, there may be some people, some moms in here thinking, oh, great, Andy just told me I'm not a very good mom. Okay? That's not what this is about. All right? This is not about telling you how awful you are or what you do. All right? This is actually to thank you. All right? Thank you for being who God created you to be. And I struggled with the title of this sermon, so I'm kind of breaking it up into two parts. The first part of the message is going to be called Everything Mom Taught Me She Stole From God. Okay? That's the first part. All right? You're guilty. And then the second part, I've kind of deliberated between the one thing Mom did not teach me and pulling out all the stops. All right? You can tell me afterwards what you think I should have titled it. All right? But, so, if you're not a mom, all right, and if you're even a lady here, not a mom, or if you're a guy, and obviously not a mom, there still is something for you at the end of this. Because there's one thing that Mom did not teach us that is absolutely vitally important that we get and that we understand, and we'll get to that at the end, because if I gave it to you at the beginning, you might be tempted to walk out once your part was done. Okay? So, that was kind of funny. I thought it was funny. It just made me chuckle. All right? So, in some of your stories, this is kind of the impression and idea I have about Mom. Moms walk around with this big flashing yellow light on top of their heads. Moms are always great with warnings, are they not? Hey, be careful to do this. Be careful not to do that. Be careful to this. How many of you, your parents, your mom specifically, warned you about who you hang out with? Right? Yeah. How many of you, take it a little farther, your mom warned you the kind of person to date or the kind of person not to date? Anybody? All right. How about, did Mom ever teach you not to show partiality to friends? Anybody have that one? Yeah. She stole those from God. It's true. If you read in Proverbs tells us we should watch the company that we hang out with, doesn't it? How many of your moms taught you about money and debt? Yeah. Proverbs says, borrower is slave to the lender. She got that from God. About who we marry, you could go to 1 Corinthians, and Paul talks about, hey, we shouldn't be unevenly yoked. If you're a Christian, you should be dating and marry a Christian person. Showing partiality, where do we find that? I'm going to sit here until you give me an answer. I'm just kidding. The book of James, right? The letter of James says, hey, don't show partiality to people. Come in, dress real nice, and show them the place of honor. We shouldn't show partiality to people. Those are all lessons and warnings that moms would often give us as we were going out of the house or as we were about to interact with others or enter in the new workplace or whatever the case may be. And they have this big yellow warning light to be able to say, hey, be careful of this. And they got those directly from God. And that's okay. Why is it okay? Because He created them. Right? And moms are a special gift to us. And so we're grateful to our moms for all that they do for us and what they do for our world as well. Now, again, I asked for some stories about Mom and stories, just kind of explaining Mom or different things, interactions that you had with Mom. And so some of them I got lessons that Mom taught them. For example, someone put, growing up, my mom and my friend's moms would always repeat to us before we left, drive the speed limit, wear your seatbelt, watch for deer, and walk with the king and be a blessing. All right? So they mixed some northern Michigan in with some Christianity there. Right? All right? But that's a good warnings, right? When you go out, make sure you drive carefully, look out for the deer. But listen, I want to make sure that you always walk with the king, capital K, right? Talking about walking with Jesus, and also be a blessing to others. And so I think that's a pretty good story about their mom and that she would always do that for them. Someone else, however, decided to tell a story about their mom and wrote this. Mom called and said that there was a bird in her attic. I told her a bird could not get in her attic. Well, she said, there's a bird in my attic. I went over to see what was up. Well, to access the attic, you needed to climb through a trap door. Near the trap door was a smoke alarm. Some of you will get it in about an hour. The battery was low, and the bird in the attic turned out to be an alarm chirping, right? All right, there you go. So sometimes we tell stories about our mom, but sometimes we have, of course, tell stories, lessons that we learned from our mom. And so the idea today in this message is to walk through a passage of Scripture. It's a very cliche passage of Scripture, one that you could probably come up with if I said, hey, I'm going to do a message on mom or about women. I'm sure that you could come up with this passage, but it's going to be Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. Probably the most exhaustive passage and Scripture about moms and about women. And so we're going to go there today. But really what we see in our moms is when we step back from it and consider our mom and the interaction that we had is that we really have these super moms as our mothers, right? I mean, they're able to do things. They have these superpowers that we can't figure out how in the world they do all of these things. One person wrote this. In 1935, when Viola Wood was 46 years old, most of these I'm not going to name names, but this one had it in it. So Mr. and Mrs. Wood adopted a 2-month-old baby girl and a set of 2-year-old twins. Mother cooked for her family, just like she did at camp, and we loved everything she prepared. My favorite was the chocolate cake she prepared every week. Mother was always home for us because Dad's work took him to the UP, to the new sawmill location. Mother was active in the church, the Eastern Church of Christ, Eastern Stars, and president of the WCTU. All in all, she was as perfect as they come. Someone else wrote, she was organized, energetic, clean, loving, generous, and beautiful, inside and out. Had a servant's heart. I never heard her complain about the demands she was under. My siblings and I had chores that helped the household run efficiently, but my mom carried the burden. One evening just before bed, I remembered I needed to ask my mom about something. I went in her doorway, and there she was, kneeling next to her bed, praying. And she said, my mom taught me how to pray. Now, I've condensed some of these stories for the sake of time, but hopefully you get the idea that when we look back and we consider our moms, we want you to feel that you are appreciated, because when we look at you, we are amazed at who God made you to be and what all you are able to do. You are a complete person and have great value, and we have no idea what makes you tick and why you even stick around. Right? Because you're amazing people, and sometimes us men are just sloths. Right? This is where I beat up on dads. Okay? All right, so I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Again, just keeping in mind this whole idea of considering moms and who they are and who God made them to be and the gift that they are to us. So Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, and we're just going to read a few verses at a time here. But verses 10 through 12 read this way. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. Amen? The heart of... Amen? All right. Man, guys, you better get with me here, or it's going to be a long afternoon. That honeydew list went from this to this, all right? An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. The first thing I want you to write down, you're welcome to put this in on the back sheet of your notes in your program if you want. But the first thing that we see in a Proverbs 31 woman, if you will, is that she's unique. She absolutely is unique. Now, I probably don't need to tell you that because you've watched your mom in action and you're like, how did she see that? How did she do that? How does she manage all of those things? And they're just amazing people that God created them to be, and they're very unique. But also the circumstances that women are in are very unique as well. Some of you are single moms and you're having to work tirelessly to be able to manage things in the household, provide for the family, work, and do all those different things. Some of you are stay-at-home moms where you're managing the household and from that front, and some of you go to work. My wife works a few days a week, and then she comes home and she makes dinner for me because I'm useless in the kitchen. And then she's the one that stays on top of, and I help clean a little bit, but not very much, let's just face it. And so she's just amazing at how she manages them. She manages my schedule, and I haven't even given her my calendar. I don't have no idea how she does that, right? But moms are unique. They're just very precious, special people that are unique. When I think of being unique, I think of the parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. In that parable, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man, a merchant, who went searching for a pearl of great price. And upon finding it, he sold everything he had and went and purchased that pearl. Now, women, don't take this the wrong way, but before you got married, your dude was a bachelor. And he was enjoying being a bachelor. He went and came home when he wanted, went and did his hobbies, did all those different things. But when he met you, he was willing to give all that up. Why? Because he found something unique and perfect and special. And said, I'm willing to give up all of that to have this pearl of great price, this bride, this wife that I have. You are unique and special and have great value in our eyes and in God's eyes. Because you are a pearl of great price. You are unique. And there are other things, again, that make you unique. Single moms, man, my hat is off to you. I'm sorry that you're having to do that, but man, you are doing a great job. And just the fact that you're here says that I want my kids in the church. I want them to know Jesus, and I want to understand what it means to grow in my faith in Jesus. And so there's so many things that make our moms unique. Someone wrote this. To start, you need to understand my family has a cynical sense of humor. And we demonstrate our love by picking, and when you say cynical sense of humor, you've got my heart right away, so I'm going to stick with this story. All right, we demonstrate our love by picking on each other with nearly no boundaries. My mother was fighting a daunting battle against stage 4 lung cancer. She had been battling it for years, but only diagnosed a little over a year before the time of this story, and she was practically bedridden. Her brain was addled by chemotherapy, her fingers were fat and clubbed, and she couldn't pick up a quarter. Her bones ached and her joints were slow to let her move. She stood at the end of the dining table, challenging my wife, brother, and myself to a game of pounce. Does anybody know what the game of pounce is? Do you know what the game of nerds is? Do you know what solitaire against other people is? I think that's what this game is. Okay, this story's going nowhere because you don't even know what pounce is. All right. So he describes it. Pounce is a fast-paced card game that can leave even the quickest-witted feeling confused and inadequate. Our response was to let her go back to her bed, pointed out all her defects, all in fun, of course. So we relented and dealt her in, stacked our piles, and prepared our hands. I remember this moment with a great sense of befuddlement. Thinking back, I still cannot wrap my mind around it. The game of pounce had barely begun. No one had gotten rid of half of their pile. The middle was filled with several incomplete piles. And my mom, who has this cancer again, slammed her hand out and yelled, "Pounce!" She smiled, winked, and walked back to bed and took her victory to the grave. But that's who my mom was. She didn't believe in giving up. She decided she could do it. Only God seemed to be able to stop her. As if some unseen force took hold and moved all the pieces together, it was both awe-inspiring and terrifying to see what she could do. She lost the fight against cancer in 2009 and now rests with our Lord and Savior. In her death, God breathed new life into my family, reuniting us and instantly healing the deep wounds left by years of feuding. Now, only a unique mom could do that. Not just the whole playing a card game and winning it when you have cancer and can barely pick up a quarter, nevertheless cards, but just the fact that a mom is able to bring healing powers even in her death because it brings family together. That's what makes mom unique. And moms, to you, we say thank you for being unique, because if you weren't unique, we would be lost. All right, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 31 again. Verses 13 through 19 read this way. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. The second thing I'd point out is that moms are productive. Moms are productive. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul is addressing the church at Thessalonica, and he says, some of you are idle. You've stopped moving. You've stopped growing. You've stopped doing anything. And he said, you're becoming busybodies. And we know, and we've heard the phrase or the saying that an idle hands are the devil's work, something. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But moms are not like that. Moms are productive. Moms are always going, constantly going. If it weren't for moms, dads would sleep in until 10:30 every single morning. But moms are up at 6 o'clock getting things going, and hey, we need to do this, we need to do this. My wife was a stay-at-home mom for years, and it was amazing to me, because if I was a stay-at-home dad, man, the world didn't start till about 11. You know? I mean, we would not have gotten anything done if I was a stay-at-home dad. But my wife, she was just constantly, there's always something that she could be doing, and we see that moms are productive. And again, to moms, we say, thank you for being productive. Someone wrote this. My mom was a hardworking farm wife. She was endlessly patient with my three older sisters and I. She was a quarter Indian and was known to say that she was the darkest spot in any picture she was in. She made excellent banana cream pie and goulash, a talent I didn't inherit. When she wasn't cooking, gardening, and canning, she loved to crochet. I have a bedspread she crocheted about 70 years ago. She has been gone now for 55 years, and I miss her still. I love you, Mom. God rest you. All of us have stories, and that's the reason that I didn't put names with these stories, is because I think that as we read these, we all have moms that come to mind. We know it may be your mom or a mom that you know that was just the same way of one that just worked tirelessly. She was able to somehow get the kids up in the morning and get them ready for school, pack all their lunches, send them off on the bus, make sure they all had all their homework done. They get there, they come back off the school bus, they have a snack waiting for them or whatever. And then we work toward dinner time, and then they got chores, and she's managing all these different things. And only a mom could do that. Guys, can I get an oh yeah?
Oh, yeah.
They're saying it humbly because they know it's true, ladies. Right? Moms are productive. And we say thank you, moms, for being productive. In our proverb that we were reading in Proverbs 31, those verses 13 through 19, all the different things. She seeks wool and flax and works with her willing hands. Would she have to do that? I guess she could just go buy clothes at the market maybe, or just wear the old clothes from yesterday. But no, she seeks wool and flax. She works with willing hands. She's like ships of the merchant. She brings food from afar. She goes and finds it in all these different places and brings it in. Rises while it's still night. Provides food for the household. Portions for her maidens. Considers a field and buys it. She's even in business helping the family to grow and produce in that way. That's how amazing and remarkable that moms are. And so thank you, moms. Thank you, ladies in our world that are productive and keep us on track. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, the curse on man was that the ground would fight back. And I would contend to you that, and you may not agree with me, but I would contend to you that men fight laziness. We do, as part of the curse. And in fighting that, sometimes we give into it. And without a stable, productive woman in our life who is a wife and mom to be keeping us on track and helping us get through things, it just wouldn't happen. So God knew what He was doing. And these things that mom does and has, her unique qualities, they all come from God. Because that's who He made her to be. So thank you, moms, for being productive. Verses 20 and 21 in Proverbs 31 say this. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. The next thing I would point out is that moms are compassionate. How many of you had a compassionate mom? Always looking out for somebody else. We had the Shetler family were here first service, and they've had a rough week. Sally passed to be with Jesus this past week, and she was only 66, and if you met her, you would have thought she's healthier than I am. How in the world does that happen? George brought his whole family in first service, and we were talking, of course, about her yesterday in the funeral, and part of what the kids had shared with me, story-wise, is that it always seemed like mom wouldn't just take care of us five, but she always had more kids in the neighborhood or around the farm that would come over, and she'd take care of them as well, and she was always looking after them and making sure they knew the love of Christ, and that just comes from a compassionate heart that so many of our moms have. Now, I don't have to tell you that the Bible says that, tells us to be compassionate, right? I mean, there's probably 5,000 verses in the Bible about taking care of the poor and looking after those who can't look after themselves. We know in our Christ-inspired phrase, one of the four things we look at is showing compassion. Because Jesus would walk into a town and although He had other things He could be doing, somebody came up that was hurting and He would show compassion to them. And so we have all been called to be compassionate as Christians, but there's something inside of moms that's just extra special that we want to say thank you for, that causes you to just keep your eye out for those little needs and sometimes bigger and greater needs that come up in our community or in your neighborhood or with the family, where you just slow us down to say, you know what, maybe we should go help them. Maybe we should go make them a meal. Maybe we just need to go visit with them. And so moms, we want to say thank you for being compassionate. Someone wrote this, my mother is a gold champion shopper. She knows how to find the best deals and will hunt for just the right item. One time when I was looking for a dress in high school, she got violently sick while we were shopping. But she didn't want us to give up, so she was outside the back of Milliken's, laying on an air handler, while I tried on dresses and went to the back door to show her one of the dresses that I came out. I'm sorry, I messed that up. One of the dresses that I came out in, she lifted her head up and said, "If we buy that dress, I know where the perfect shoes are to match it." That's my sick mom voice. In all seriousness, Thank you, Mom, for being a mother who is giving, loving, forgiving, fun, always there for me, and the perfect example of a godly woman. Moms show compassion to their kids all the time, right? There's things that they go above and beyond to be able to do. Even though they're not feeling 100%, maybe when they wake up in the morning or halfway through, they know something's important to their kids, and so they show compassion to their kids as well as to the community and the people that are around them as well. Let's go to verses 22 through 27 in Proverbs 31. They read like this. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. The next thing I would point out is that mothers are wise. Mothers are wise. How many of you are grown now? Obviously, that's most of you are grown now. That your mom still gives you advice. Anybody still have your mom give you advice? Yeah. My mom was in ministry with my father for, I don't know, 40, 45 years. And so whenever we get together, of course, church comes up. And she's always got some ideas about, well, have you tried this? Or why don't you do that? Or whatever, right? Now, if I was an unwise person myself, I would ignore that and call her a crazy old woman and not listen to her. Don't tell my mom I said that, okay? I would never call her a crazy old woman. But if I'm a wise person, I'm going to listen to her because she's got all this experience. Teenagers, this is a lesson for you. Your kids know more. I mean, your parents know more than you. You think you know more than they do, but you don't. Your moms have great wisdom. It's amazing how many times my wife would say something to my boys, and sure enough, exactly what she said would happen while they were gone. They'd have to come back with their, you know, tail between their legs. Yeah, Mom, you were right. Right? Our moms are so wise about things that are out there and things that are in the world and what we need to be careful of as well. In Proverbs 1:8, it says, don't forsake your mom's teaching. Don't forsake your mom's teaching. You remember who Solomon's mom was? It's Bathsheba, right? Bathsheba had a pretty rough go of it to the beginning, right? Her husband was murdered by King David, in essence, right? He would go on to write this. Bathsheba and David's son Solomon would go on to write, don't forsake your mom's teaching. Because he knew that his mom had some wise words for him after all that she had been through. And you and I need to do the same. We need to not forsake our mother's teaching. Sometimes it may seem out of the blue or off base or, nah, Mom, that's just old-fashioned thinking. This, you know what? Keep it in your heart. Because I guarantee you that what she warned you about, what she told you about, is absolutely going to come around. Someone wrote this, my mom is one of a kind. She set the bar for the mom I always wanted to be. Growing up, my mom wanted to be with us girls, so she began doing in-home daycare. She became a mom to countless other children over 30 years. My mom did not just do the minimum, feeding and changing, repeat times 10 with each child each day. She nurtured us as well as her other kids with a very loving heart. My mom taught me it's no big deal to pack up 10 kids and head to the beach for the day, or to the park, or to have 20 teenagers over for a homemade pizza and games night. She worked very hard, but always had ideas for how we could have fun and also get lots of work done. Now get this. Our house is one of the fun houses throughout school. It was no big deal for my mom to say, you want to invite a bunch of your friends over for a game night or make your own tacos night. She had wisdom in keeping her kids safely under her watch and providing innocent fun so that our friends always wanted to be at our house. My mom was wise, too, as she presented chores for our friends to do as a game. When I read that letter, I thought, that is a wise mother. That is a wise mother, not just because she got all the friends to do the chores around the house, right? But how many of us, when we send our kids away for the first sleepover, couldn't sleep all night because we were thinking, what did I just do with my child? But a wise mother will say, you know what? Why don't you invite your friends over to our house? Let us show them the love of Jesus, because we know that that'll be evident in our home. And you might let them go to another Christian family's home or whatever, or you feel safe with someone else or whatever. But a wise mom is going to say, you know what? I know that if they're in my care, if I'm keeping a watch out and I'm a God follower, that they're going to have a good influence while they're in my home. And that's exactly what was happening in this person's letter. Someone else wrote, two of my favorite things are music and flowers. I love playing piano. The joy and freedom of getting lost in the music was something my mother taught me at a very young age. She gave me piano lessons from 5 years old through high school. She taught me that I should always remember I play for God first and to let the music speak through me, not just play the notes. A wise mother will know that even when they're teaching their kids talents and even when they're developing abilities that God has given them, she's going to keep in the forefront of their mind These are talents and gifts we use for God. We use them for Him first. If they bless the rest of the world, awesome. But we use them for God first. Let's go to verses 28 through 31. Verses 28 through 31 say this: Her children rise up and call her blessed. Moms, how many of your kids rose up this morning and said, "You are a blessed mom"? How many kids are in here right now? All right, I want you to stand up if you're a kid. If your mom's in here, stand up. How's that? Come on. I want you to turn to your mom, and I want you to say, "You are a blessed woman." Are you ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. All right. Don't sit down because that was awful. Let's do that again. Come on, stand back up. On the count of three, you are a blessed woman. Ready? One, two, three. All right, that's much better. Sit down and go home and practice. Verse 28 says, her child rise up and call her blessed, but then guess what it also says? Her husband also, and he praises her. Guys, stand up. You look at your mom or the mother of your children, and you tell her she's a blessed woman. And put the kids to shame. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. All right, that's not good enough. One more time. One, two, three. All right, that's better. You sit down and go work on it too. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And her husband also. And he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. This is a great verse, verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. The last thing I would say in this Proverbs 31 chapter is that a woman of God fears the Lord. She fears the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, our moms have all these special qualities about them because God built them with it in them. And when they fear God, all of the things that come with understanding and being made by God and created by Him in this special way emulate from them. So we see this super mom who is able to do these things that are just beyond us because we're not her. And it all happens because she respects and fears God and knows who made her and who created her and what a gift her family is for her. And that's when the super mom powers come out. We couldn't possibly rave about our near perfect mom without talking about her incredible God-honoring marriage with our dad. They are one, and they are one of a kind. They are each other's biggest supporters and encouragements. They come alongside each other to do and give their best. If I had to choose one word to encompass what God designed and purpose for their marriage, it'd be give. They understand and believe that everything is God's and are thrilled to share it with His children. Our precious parents have touched many lives with their wisdom, finances, prayer, abilities, time, and love. We have done nothing to deserve the direct beneficiaries of their generosities, but we are forever changed by it. You see, when a woman, when a mom, when a wife fears the Lord, she realizes that everything that she has is from God, and she respects and gives it back to Him. When it comes to not just finances, but when it comes to her gifts and abilities, that when she uses those for the Lord because she fears the Lord, again, God uses those gifts to not just bless her own family, to bless others as well. There's another story that I would share with you that I popped in there somewhere. Well, my three siblings and I found ourselves having to say goodbye to our mom, whether it be for a few hours, days, or weeks, we would always be sent off with the same saying, "When you think about me, I'm already thinking about you, and I love you more." Raising four kids is not easily done. Raising four children that know they are loved deeply and always will be is not a simple task. But raising children alone that never knew an earthly father's love and teaching them that they have a father in heaven that will never let them down, that is the story I will tell my grandchildren about my mother. I bring that story in because of this. Only a mom who fears the Lord in a circumstance where she's raising her kids by herself will still be able to look to God and say, "I give Him glory, I give Him honor, and I want my kids to grow up to be Christ followers." All right? I'm not ignorant enough to realize, I'm ignorant, just not ignorant enough to realize that there are people in here with very sad mom stories. It might be a single mom and dad walked out or things didn't work out, whatever, and it's just a tough day, Mother's Day, to think about those things. You may have lost your mother, right? You may have lost her way too early. You may have had a really bad relationship with your mom. I don't know. But I know one thing, that as we continue to live our lives for God and live for His glory and His honor, it will still honor the woman that gave birth to you, that brought you into this life. And that brings me to my final point, the one thing that my mom never taught me. And I'm going to share it by way of a story. I'll share two illustrations with you real quick. First one is this. A week ago Saturday, our oldest son Sam graduated from college. And we have a $160,000 piece of paper sitting there in his room. And we left him down there. He has a job down there and he's 14 hours away. And it's I really play the martyr when it comes to my son being far away. But anyway, so we're trying to get him set up and everything. And my son is a little bit hard headed. He takes that after his mother. I can say that because she came first service. But what I found us doing as we were setting him up, and we're just wanting to teach him all these things. Like, Sam, this is what you need to do with this. And he was setting up his first apartment, and you don't just walk in and the lights turn on. You know, you have to go to the electric company and pay a deposit and get him to turn the lights on, right? And gas and all these things. And I was helping him work on his car. And listen, I just met like in a matter of 10 minutes, I met the best mechanic that you would ever, no offense intended to any mechanics in here, but this guy, I wish I could have recorded his voice. He was as East Tennessee as they come, but man, he was awesome. And I introduced Sam to this guy, and the guy fixed the exhaust on his car. It was great. I'll tell you about it later. But anyway, it was really funny. I got to get that recording. Anyway, but I taught him all these. I was able to teach and train him all these things. And it was hard to let him go. All right. But we had to, because it was time for him to leave the nest. Right. It's time for Sam to launch and to get going with his career and his job. And while he's 14 hours away, at least we have phone and FaceTime and those kinds of stuff that we can do. But there's one thing that we didn't teach him. I'm going to get to that in a second. I'm going to share this other story and then I'll get to that point. Let me start by saying my mom day story is more of a mom day series. Some may view her as a typical mom. She was a leader of my Girl Scout troops, soccer mom, softball mom, karate mom, horse show mom, dance mom, tutor, bake sale mom, etc. How many of you have a mom like that? All right. However, her involvement, care, and impact are so much deeper than these special and common motherly acts. God definitely knew what He was doing when He brought my family into the hands of my mother. The first time I realized that my mom was a super mom was in elementary school. My father acquired a near-death open head injury in his workplace. Mom took this problem head on, pun intended. That's just to make sure you're awake. Her nurture and drive kept our family rolling during that rough time. She was able to support our entire family financially and emotionally while acquiring a new role as nurse to my dad, as well as continuing to execute her roles as mother, wife, and teacher. The second time I realized I had a super mom was in high school. And to be honest, I initially thought she had just gone insane. My mother approached my family with the idea of fostering children, sibling groups, through child and family services. She felt that we lived in a big home with lots of space and love to offer those in need. My family agreed, and after 2 years of fostering, we fell in love with sibling group of four, ages 1, 2, 3, and 4. My mother then approached my family again, asking to adopt these four children to prevent them from being separated in the foster care system through the adoption process. My family nearly doubled in size, transforming from a family of 5 to 9. My last supermom story is by far my favorite and most meaningful story to me. She adopted 4 more kids. Did you hear that? My wife and I are getting excited about kicking our second one out this fall to go to college. And this woman added 4. My last supermom story is by far my favorite and most meaningful story to me. On my mother's birthday, February 1st, 2012, I was diagnosed with stage 3 large cell anaplastic lymphoma. My mother fearlessly took charge and jumped into action once again. We went to multiple doctors and got multiple opinions on how we would handle this new life hurdle. Some doctors advised me to drop out of college, enjoy the last few months of my life here on earth. Other doctors advised an aggressive chemotherapy treatment protocol. We were told that I would be very sick, that I needed to take this time to focus on my health. I was a 19-year-old girl, fresh into the world on my own, and I think the idea of leaving college and my sorority was harder to me than the idea of fighting cancer. My mom, being the super mom that she is, decided to take the burden from me and focus on my health for me so that I could continue to be the 19-year-old college girl I so badly wanted to be. My mother dropped everything at home and in her job to come down to live in Kalamazoo and support me through my treatments. My goals were her focus, and her job was to be my cheerleader. Oftentimes, the cheerleading was quite literal. She sacrificed so much for my happiness and health that I could never accurately put into words what all she meant to me during that life struggle. I don't mean to disregard the seriousness or struggle of cancer with what I'm about to say. However, my mom somehow managed to take the worst experience of my life and turn that into one of the best experiences in my life. Blame it on my chemo brain if you want to, but my memories of battling cancer were some of the best and most cherished memories that I hold with me. Like I said before, God definitely knew what He was doing when He paired my mom with my family. The things my mother has done and continues to do can only be acts of God. I'm so blessed to have her in my life, and I literally would not be here today to tell her story if it wasn't for the love and care she has showered over me my whole life. There's one lesson that you did not hear her mom tell her to do in that story. And there's one lesson that your mom did not teach you. And one lesson my mom did not teach me. And one lesson that my wife did not teach my son as we sent him off into the big, wide, mean world of Johnson City, Tennessee. And it's this. Don't settle for good when great is just around the corner. Don't settle for adequate. Don't settle for mediocre when great is just around the corner. Keep striving for something better. Keep striving for more. Keep striving to serve Jesus with all that you have and watch Him work to make you and be the person that He created you to be. My mom never taught me to slow down or to stop or just to settle for things. And I know that your mom didn't either. God created us to be so much more. And they gave us our moms in our life to give us the example of what it looks like to be compassionate and productive and amazing and special and unique and God-fearing. And He gave us that example to be able to look at and to say, you know what? I'm settling. I need to reach farther. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't. I know as a church, I look and say, we're a church of 400. We're stuck. And I've had people tell me, what are you complaining about? You're a church of 400 in a town of 1,500? That's awesome. Well, I have 600 on Easter. I know we can at least get to that, right? We can't settle. We have to keep reaching and striving and thriving. And I don't even know why I'm so emotional right now, but I am. I've read that story 15 times before today. But our mom never taught us to settle. And I hope that you're not settling, because she got that lesson from God. God gave it to her as a mom, and He lives it out to her through her being a mom. And she's passing it on to you today to say, look at where you're at now. And if you're at the same place in a year, you're letting me down. Strive for more. Be more. Be everything that God created you to be. Don't stop. Don't settle. Don't be mediocre. Because great is just around the corner. I know that there are some here that have very tough mom stories again. And I received one. And I'm not going to read it for you. But basically, this person said, life was not good with my mom. She manipulated us. It was awful. And now I've gone the other way with the pendulum. It swung all the way the other way, where I'm exact opposite of where my mom is. So I understand and I get that. But let me tell you this. Regardless of whether you were given up for adoption, regardless of whether your mom left your family and you didn't get to see her, whether or not your mom is even in your life anymore, here's the thing. I guarantee you, knowing the moms that I do, that even if for just one brief second, when you were carried in her womb or when she was delivering you into this world, she had on her mind, I hope this boy or girl turns out to be great. So the best way that you can honor your mom, whether she's living and active in your life or not, and whether you are a single mom or what or whatever, the best way that you can honor your mother is to not settle for good, because great is just around the corner. But it's only going to come when we strive for it. And that's exactly what your mother wants you to do. Why don't you pray with me? Father, we thank You for moms, because they are special, special people. Lord, we can't imagine life without our moms, of course. And we wouldn't have life without our moms, of course. But Lord, we just love them. And even if our mom's not in our life anymore, we look at the moms around our church and we say, wow, I want to be a mom like that or have that person in my life because they're such a nurturing person. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the qualities of moms in our world and for the women in our world and what they've meant to us and how they've taught us and driven us and caused us to be more productive ourselves. We just thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you most of all because we know they get it from you. You created them. You created them to be the women that they are. And we are so grateful to you for that. Father, may we honor our mothers. May we honor them by not settling for mediocrity, but striving for the greatness that you have in store for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.